when I think about the change that you go through in those formative years, I've had some failures along that journey that helped me kind of internalize myself as a failure. And that's tough to get past when you're in those younger years. And it wasn't until I went skydiving, if you want to talk about feeling like a failure, but I got mad. And it was that pivotal moment. Those moments in our educational experience are so transformational. And for me, it was skydiving. I am, by the way, a certified skydiver now because I got that mad, but I did it.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones, sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Hi, Brad.
Hello, hello.
This is so fun. We have been waiting until it had been a reasonable amount of time before we would call upon our friend Whitney Kilgore. So we had to kind of wrestle with what is reasonable, but we'd like to have her here every week. We're welcoming to the show today, Whitney. Whitney Kilgore is the co-founder and chief academic officer of iDesign. Whitney is a global leader in instructional design. She is responsible for creating and refining high-quality online degree programs worldwide that emphasize increased learning engagement and humanized teaching practices. Whitney previously served as Vice President of Academic Services Domestic and International for Academic Partnerships and as the Director of Academic Technology Services at the College of Southern Nevada. Whitney has a PhD in Learning Technologies from the University of North Texas, a postgraduate certificate in educational technology leadership from George Washington University, and an MS in curriculum and instruction from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Join us in welcoming to the Digital to Learn podcast, Whitney Kilgore. Welcome, Whitney.
Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Brad.
Hi there. I would just say waiting any time to talk to Whitney again is unreasonable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. As we'll talk about later, there was a certain LinkedIn announcement, or I saw it on LinkedIn, that was made where I felt like, excuse, she's coming back. We can talk to her about this. So that's how we got here. But she said yes. So we do appreciate you saying yes. We have spent some time getting to know you a bit in a past episode, but there are a few additional get to know you questions that we'd like to ask. And the first one is mostly out of my own just selfish interest. I believe that you are busy, involved with so much awesome activity, and I don't even know how it's possible. So I'm going to grant you one extra hour each day, and I'm wondering how you would spend that time.
It's a great question, Tiffany. It's one I've really struggled with. Thanks for sending the questions in advance. So
yep.
I can really overthink this one.
Yep.
I bounced around a little bit, but that might be just the busy continuing in that extra hour. I think the first thing that came to mind for me was I'd love some time to just sit down and curl up with a book and read. And I don't feel like I get that block of time to do that because I'm juggling so many plates. And the other thing I would love to do is my youngest is actually a senior in high school, and I wish I just had more time with her. Mm-hmm. So that extra hour, I'd probably just want to hang out with her, but balance it with a book because nobody wants their mom around too much.
Maybe she could be reading too.
Maybe so. Maybe we could read to each other.
Yeah.
Well, effective tomorrow, you will actually have that extra hour. We're granting you that. So.
Oh, thanks. I actually think, doesn't that come in October or November anyway?
It does. It does. October.
Wow,
yes.
I see what you did there.
That's exactly right. Okay. Speaking of time, we're going to put you in the Digital to Learn time capsule and send you back to high school just a couple of years ago and ask you to think about choosing a different career path. What would it be?
Okay. So this is really interesting because I didn't choose my career path. It found me. So in high school, I actually thought I was going to go into physical therapy and help people with their abilities or temporary disabilities. And it wasn't until much later in life that I went back to school and decided the physical therapy path wasn't the right path, at least in that moment. And the future kind of I kind of describe it as a pebbled walkway and these beautiful stepping stones. And they kind of have appeared in front of me as I am in a position to take the next step. It feels that way to me sometimes. So it's not that I necessarily know exactly where the next stone is going to appear, but I'm willing to take that next step and to go down that path.
Very good.
So awesome.
Very good.
Yeah. And almost in the way that education and careers are laid out today, almost the way we would encourage all students to, maybe not all, but most students to approach their career is just to be open-minded and inviting of the different experiences that they're offered. And
yeah, and I think coming out of high school and into college at a really young age, because I graduated high school when I was 16, which is probably the other reason I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. I mean, I don't know that my daughter does either, and she's 17. So
yeah.
but when I think about the change that you go through in those formative years, I had some failures along that journey that helped me kind of internalize myself as a failure. And that's tough to get past when you're in those younger years. And it wasn't until I went skydiving and came down to the ground and didn't have my ripcord, because I didn't go tandem. I went accelerated free fall. So I jumped out with people, not strapped to someone. And my chin strap came loose on my helmet, was beating me in the face. And when you're falling at 120 miles an hour, it causes you to not be able to see. I didn't pull my own ripcord on my first jump. You want to talk about feeling like a failure, but I got mad. And it was that pivotal moment. And it's funny because in learning, we forget that we need this messy kind of challenge to inspire and motivate.
Absolutely.
And so I watched my daughter learn how to play ukulele and get to that point just frustrated and mad. And then once she got past that moment, she could play any song, right? So it's those moments in our educational experience are so transformational. And for me, it was skydiving. I am, by the way, a certified skydiver now, because I got that mad that I did it.
And we all know that, and we've all experienced it. And yet in higher ed, we have this need to have 18-year-olds declare a major and tell us what they're going to do for the rest of their lives, which is totally ridiculous.
And in the world we live in today, what does that mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, a career is what, 3 to 5 years anymore, instead of my parents' version of a career, which was 40-ish, 30-ish, because they retired younger. So the world is changing and lifelong learning is so critical. And those pivotal moments, we have to make space for that in what we do in higher education.
I was talking with my son and told him how my life had turned out so much different than I had anticipated. Because when I was in high school or college, it was like you graduate, then you get married, then you get a job and you stay at that job and you get 2 weeks vacation every year. That was probably my parents' life. And I expected the same thing for me. And it's so different. And the odd thing is, he couldn't understand what I was saying. He didn't get that. So these are exciting times.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, Whitney, name someone in the field of education that you look to and you think, wow, they are a star.
Okay, so can't pick one. I just can't.
Okay, that's all right.
can I have a pass? I got an extra hour. So I spent that time thinking about who the other person would be.
Yeah.
So my two would be Randy Constantino. And I don't know if you have met her or had her on the show yet.
No.
We will now.
Yeah.
You're up, Randy.
Yeah.
She is the president of the United States Naval Community College, which is a brand new college that's being formed to help our men and women of the Naval Services. So that's Navy and Marine Corps and Coast Guard, earn their degree while they're deployed.
Nice.
And that's a really important missing link. My husband's a former Marine. And if he could have had the opportunity that Randy is creating for these service members now, back then, he probably wouldn't have had to go back to school with 0 credits at the age of 40, something. Yeah. So it's really tremendous. And she has great vision and foresight. She was the chief academic officer or vice president of academic affairs for Strayer before she went on to Guild Education and some big companies as chief academic officer. And we're really lucky to have her in that position to steer and guide. And they're doing it in collaboration with other universities too. So it's they'll have some things that are essential to naval operations, and then there'll be pathways into community colleges or university that where it's a collaborative experience. So great undertaking and a woman who inspires me. My other inspirational rock star woman, I really love promoting other women, by the way, is Elise Smith. And she is the CEO of Praxis Lab. She's also one of the co-founders of it. And they are focused on creating virtual reality simulations that help individuals understand what life is like as a marginalized student. Wow. And so it immerses you in this feeling. I mean, like, you can't help, it's the affect, right? You can't help but just be, but feel the way that student might feel, right? So really interesting work being done from a diversity, equity, and inclusion perspective. And again, Elise, amazing individual. I've had the chance to talk to her a couple of times, but wow, she would also be star power for the podcast.
I feel like we all need those people of inspiration to learn from. And those are really great examples. And also you're sharing about work that is new to us. So it's just so exciting to be able to hear a little bit more about what's going on in higher ed and ed tech. And we'll be doing our homework afterwards to make sure we're up to speed on everything.
Awesome.
Thank you for sharing. We are going to move now to our slightly more serious questions with Whitney. And there has been this theme of time that was not intentional with you, but here it is playing out. So I'm not sure what was going on when our discussion guide questions were developed. But the first one is, tell us about your work rhythm. How do you prioritize and organize your time between the research, the writing, presenting, networking? How do you do it?
So sometimes I feel like it's a little bit of luck. Sometimes it's a little bit of just reshuffling the deck. Mm-hmm. And one of the tools in my tool chest that I'll share with everybody is the Eisenhower matrix. So it helps you prioritize your time based on what's the most important. So there's like the urgent, not urgent, the important, the not important. And it helps you decide whether to do, to schedule, to delegate, or to just delete it because it's not urgent. It's not important, right? It's just something that's on your to-do list that doesn't need to be to done. So I do use that when I get to a point to where I'm feeling overwhelmed or overloaded with the number of things on my to-do list. And it really helps tremendously. I'll usually just whiteboard that. So just a trick for anybody out there trying to think about how to make your to-do list a little bit more user-friendly. But I think my prioritization has changed over time too, where I spend more time now presenting at conferences, writing, researching. When COVID hit, I saw the amount of time that instructional designers were being asked to commit working in higher education, getting up early in the morning, staying up until all hours of the night, serving faculty while they're trying to still take care of their families. And it was just overwhelming to hear these stories from friends and colleagues in the field. And so Patrice Prusco from Harvard and I took it upon ourselves to start doing some research and interviews and writing about this notion of burnout, but it's beyond burnout. They were, you know, instructional designers were kind of burned out pre-pandemic because people didn't really know what they did. And then the pandemic hit and everybody knows what an instructional designer is now. As a matter of fact, my father called me and said, honey, that online learning thing, isn't that what you do? Oh my.
Yeah.
Like, yes, dad, for 20 years.
Oh my goodness. That's great.
But the transition to everybody knowing what an instructional designer could do was also this pivotal moment for those individuals who weren't ready to safeguard their their personal time or their family time. And they care so deeply about quality student experiences that they can't help but give of themselves because they were needed, right? Mm-hmm. So they kind of became this first line, you know, frontline worker, if you will, during the pandemic for higher education. So these interviews kind of culminated into a number of different articles and book chapters and presentations. And honestly, the OLC workshop we just did Friday before last turned into what I would have to call a bit of a therapy session, right? Where we're sharing these tips and advice for how to overcome burnout or safeguard your time or think through how you can communicate up the needs of your organization or your needs personally so that you can take care of yourself. Some of the interviewees had not had a vacation day and they were paid on a faculty contract. Wow. So they weren't supposed to be working during the summer even and had. So there's stories out there that are pretty compelling in our space.
Awesome. Good for you for doing that.
Yeah. How is that? Was that content already shared or will it continue to be shared? Some of what you learned in the interviews and the write-ups that you did. I know you mentioned the OLC webinar.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I can share with you, Tiffany, for the show notes, a hyperlink to the article that we wrote that was in EDGECAUSE Review. And then there's a book chapter we've just finished up that'll be in a book that's coming out of the University of South Africa. Awesome. It'll be an open educational resource. So I'll be happy to share that at the time when it comes out.
Yeah, that would be so neat.
Excellent.
We're going to take a pause here and be back next week for part two with Whitney Kilgore. Join us next week.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Embrace the future.
Always keep learning.